Well, an interesting story that's told about this word deja vu. That's not Hebrew, by the way. Deja vu isn't Hebrew. It's a psychological term. It's from psychology. And it's an illusory feeling of having already experienced a present situation. An interesting story is told about this word. How many remember Yogi Berra? He just died not long ago. But he was a great catcher for the New York Yankees, and he was known for the misuse of words. And he had been hired actually twice to be manager of the New York Yankees after he had served as a player for a number of years. And then in between that, the first and second hiring as manager, he had been a coach. So this second time that he was called to be manager, and then he was fired again, he said, "This is like deja vu all over again." So deja vu means, haven't I gone through this before? And the reason I chose this word is that sometimes, you know, the first time around that the Lord does something or leads us into a strange situation, we don't catch on, you know. He has to bring us into a deeper relationship to understand what's going on and what he's trying to get ourselves committed to. Well, I don't know how many of you have experienced what Peter experienced. It's not everybody who's called this way. And you might know that the first century believers, all of them weren't called to leave their jobs and become apostles or some position like that. But here, Yeshua approaches Peter. And he's a fisherman. And I take it that he was quite a hefty man. He was a pretty strong guy. But that's what he knew as a career, fishing. And here he's approached by Yeshua after Yeshua gives a teaching. And he tells Peter to come out into the deep, that he's going to catch fish. And we all go by our experience. If it's like this, it's going to keep being like this. And things may not change, but he's fished all night and caught nothing. I think a lot of times as believers trying to reach somebody with the good news, we fish and fish and fish, and there's a lot of, look, take that away. Well, Yeshua is getting this man ready for a different kind of fishing, okay? And for all of us whom he calls, he's getting us ready, if he hasn't already gotten us ready, for a different kind of fishing. Fishing for men and women and children is different from fishing for fish. And Peter said, "You don't understand, Lord. I've been working all night at this. I'm exhausted." He didn't say it here, but that's probably was the case. And he says, "I caught absolutely nothing." I told the man who had been our pastor, he's up in Canada, I said, "I've worked so hard for so many years, and it seems like so few people proportionally have come to the Lord." He said to me, and he was our pastor for a number of years. He's up in Canada now, Dick Bieber. He said, "Harold, who told you to keep score?" That's something to think about, isn't it? We're just sent out. And the Lord is getting ready to prepare Peter to be sent out. So he says, go out into the deep. And he tells him exactly where to put the nets. And the catch is so huge, he has to get help to bring it in. And he's aware of his own sinfulness. He fell at Jesus' knees and he says to Yeshua, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." That somehow, just being with Yeshua, you get the idea, here is somebody different. This isn't just another man. This is somebody who projects an ethereal projection. It's like someone from heaven. In fact, it is someone from heaven. And he says, "Depart from me. Go away from me. I'm a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Yeshua says something startling to him. And he gives him it was almost like a command, but it was a welcoming to take a hold of something so powerful that all of history would be shaken because of this. He says, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up to the shore, left everything. Now that's a shocking thing. I don't know if you've ever had that experience where the Lord says, "Leave all of this and come and do this. I'm asking you to do this." When I was 57, Blue Cross was closing our subsidiary. I thought when I got that job, I was the head of the graphics department, I would have it the rest of my life. And then they tell me, "We're closing this place because a new attorney general and a new insurance commissioner came in and said Blue Cross has to get rid of all of its for-profit subsidiaries. It's supposed to function as a non-profit corporation." I was totally shocked. Listen, when you're 57 years old and they say goodbye, the world looks like an awfully big place. You say, "Where am I going to turn?" Well, all he said to them here, he didn't tell them every detail. He said, "Don't be afraid, you're going to leave them. You've got a totally new calling. You're going to go out and catch men for the kingdom of God." That's a monstrous calling, a huge calling, but it's a calling that is right from heaven to go out and point men who are perhaps working in this world for something that isn't going to last, and telling them, "You're going to be a part of a heavenly kingdom now. You're going to be a part of an assignment from God." Well, they do leave everything. These men leave all of their positions and they go to become disciples of Yeshua. Remember, there's a time when he says, "Now I'm going to send you out. Don't take any money or any extra clothing." You're going to go to various places that I'm going to send you, various towns, and you're going to depend on those people there to give you your food. And it's obvious you're going to have to depend on God. You don't have any money of your own. And they go and they do, and they come back and they say, "Lord, even the demons were subject to us." He said, "Don't boast over that. If you're going to boast of something, be glad that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." Amen. You know, you aren't going to be sent out so you can say, "See what I did? See what a great work I have? Do you know who I am? Did you see me on television?" It's not like that. You're to know that there's something more important. You're doing what the Lord tells you, and your glory is in Him, and your glory is that the Lord had mercy upon you, and your names are now written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We've got to have a different idea of priorities if we're going to look at Yeshua. It isn't how important we can get in this life, how big of a bank account we can build up, how much we can glory in what we did and have our names in the papers and on TV and big billings. I'm glorified. No, that's not the kingdom of God. That's the kingdom of this world. It just so happens that too many people who try to picture themselves as part of the kingdom of God are part of this thing of glorifying yourself. If anybody is to be glorified, it's the Lord Himself. So they have all these great experiences. And you know, Yeshua sends them out and even gives them the power to heal the sick. All types of miracles. In fact, later on, some of the gifts of the Spirit are healing and miracles. And it says in Hebrews concerning the early believers, God bearing witness with them, with signs and wonders and different miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to His own will. God does powerful things even today. The New Testament says this: Yeshua the Messiah, the same when, yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same Yeshua. And so you would say, after they had seen Him crucified and then raised from the dead, you would think they would be so assured of everything. Look how the Lord took care of me. That isn't the way it happened. It shows in John chapter 21, the last chapter, where Peter is saying to in front of the other disciples, "I'm going fishing." Now, don't forget, he was like a leader among them. They looked up to him. They say, "We'll go with you." In other words, Jesus is no longer walking with them. It's not a day-by-day walk with Yeshua. Yeshua has been crucified. They saw Him raised from the dead, but then they're probably thinking to themselves, "So where do I go? I have to go back to my job." He's not here to take care of us anymore. I'm going fishing. Well, it becomes like that first meeting. They fish all night and caught what?
Nothing.
Nothing. Zero. here's deja vu all over again, as Yogi Berra says. And so Yeshua is there on the shore. It's the same place, the Sea of Galilee. Hey, boys, did you catch anything? No, nothing. And he tells them where to put the nets. And it's the same as at the first. The nets are so full of fish that they have a hard time tugging it in. See, Peter still didn't feel so secure that if I just do what Jesus tells me to do, I'll be taken care of. My God shall supply every need of yours according to his glorious riches. That was true back then too. It's true now. He will supply every need. So where do we look for our provision? You know, even with our jobs, you may have your job today and not tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen in our society, do we? Or to the world. That's why we need to know what it is to depend on the Lord to take care of us. A big part of the Sermon on the Mount was the fact that if he took care of the birds of the air, he'll take care of you. That's right. He makes those flowers so beautiful. If he makes them like that, you'll have clothes to wear. God will see to it. You're more important than the birds or the flowers. That's right. And evidently, it didn't take root so that there was no more concern. And you know, oftentimes we go for years as believers and it doesn't fully take root. We're still afraid if we don't do this or don't do that, we won't have what we need. That's why Paul wrote to the Philippians, "My God shall supply every need of yours according to his glorious riches in Messiah Yeshua." Amen. According to his riches. You say, I can bank on what Yeshua says. He called me. He's not only the one that tells me which way to go. The word says you'll hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. And if you depend on him, you will hear that voice. Amen. If you're walking with him. And so they come ashore with that net full of fish. And what do they see? Jesus told them to bring the net in with the fish. There, he's already got fish ready for breakfast. He didn't really need their fish. They could depend on him for the... He's the master of the fish. He told Peter where they were when he didn't know, and Peter was a fisherman. So the problem was that Peter also thought too much of where he was. I'm a macher in some ways, he says. You know, Lord, the others may deny you. I won't.
Yeah, right.
You know, we don't know our hearts the way Yeshua does.
That's right. Amen to that.
These guys are like this. I'm like this. Uh-huh. I'm better equipped. Oh, yeah? Before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. So here Peter comes, the denier, the one who goes back to his fishing after the Lord called him from it. And scholars have a different idea about what these means. When Yeshua said, "Do you love me more than these?" He's not talking about the other disciples who are there. He's talking about the nets. He's pointing to the nets. Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these nets? And you know, he could ask all of us that. He could say, do you love me more than your job? Do you love me more than your Lexus? I don't have a Lexus. Do you love me more than your Jeep? Whatever. Do you love me more than that beautiful home? Is there anything you love me, you love more than you love me? When he says, seek ye first, he's talking about primary. The first and greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And why is the second one like it? Love your neighbor as yourself. Because, you know, a lot of people can say, I love God, and we don't see God. And we have no real proof you love God. But if you love those around you the way the Scripture tells, that's a sign of your loving God. It says, how can you love God whom you don't see and hate your brother whom you see? Because I can't really know if this person loves God. That's just a statement. But the way you respond to others in your life and the way you live your life here in giving of yourself to the needs of those around you and to others shows whether the Spirit of God is in your heart or not. That's the idea. So he says, Simon, do you love me more than these nets, than your job? You go back to your fishing when I called you from it. He says, and there are two different words for love here too. Yeshua is using the word of the highest type of love, agape. And of course, he's talking Hebrew or Aramaic to him, and we have it in the Greek. But I believe there are those two different words to show that that Peter was saying a different love that he had than the love of Yeshua. Yeshua had that depth of love. And he's saying to Peter, do you love me with this agape love, this depth of love that you're supposed to have for God with all your heart, soul, and might? Or do you, what kind of love? He says, I have like a fellowship love for you, God. And he keeps asking him. And the thing is, Jesus didn't say, you know, you denied me, I can't trust you. He said, feed my sheep, take care of my lambs. He's giving him an assignment that he's going to be a pastor. He talks about it in 1 Peter chapter 5. He became a pastor, not just an apostle, but a pastor. And a pastor takes care of the sheep and the lambs. He feeds them both. He takes care of both. He's concerned for those people that God puts under him, under his care. God is going to call some of you to function in various ways to glorify him. Whatever he calls you to do, you're serving God. One isn't more important than the other. You know, I don't believe they had titles the way we have today. When we first moved into that building in Southfield, A law firm owned that building, and I took the owner out. I may have told you this before, bear with me. Marshall Garmo was a very well-known lawyer in this area, and he was Chaldean. And I took him to lunch, and he said, "So what do I call you? Do I call you Rabbi? Or do I call you Reverend or Holy Father?" I said, "No," I said, "just call me what everybody calls me. Call me Harold." I said, "Marshall, I don't believe titles are important, but functions are."
Amen.
And listen, I'm telling you this because God is going to begin calling you to a function in the body. And one function isn't more important than the other. I'm no more important than anybody else in this congregation. God didn't say, "Now you're a macher." That's Yiddish for a big deal. "Now you're a macher." No, you aren't. No, you can fluck in a certain situation just like anybody else. You're totally dependent on the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Each of us is. And nobody's more important than the other one.
Amen.
God loves all of his children. And he isn't choosing favorites. So Peter has to make this statement that he loves him, but it isn't the Yeshua kind of love. And Yeshua says to him finally, he says, "When you were young, you know, Simon, you put on your belt and you went where you wanted to. You had that freedom. When you're old, somebody else is going to take you and bind you and take you where you don't want to go." Now, that's sort of shocking, you know. You know, I told you before when I told you about this, he never even told him about his Blue Cross and Blue Shield. Those weren't offered as benefits. He was told that when he follows Yeshua, Yeshua gave him the confidence that he would be with him. But he says, "In the end, you're going to give your life for me." You know where you hear all these preachers preaching about health and wealth? You follow the Lord and you're going to have the best car. In fact, you'll even have money to send to me for my new Learjet. It's about all this worldly stuff. And Yeshua didn't talk like that, did he? And you rarely hear any of, in fact, you never hear any of those preachers tell these people what he told Peter. And when Peter hears this, he's shocked. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. In other words, the early believers knew that they didn't just glorify God by their life. They glorified him by their death too. And they were willing to. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Now, Peter isn't just concerned with what the Lord just said to him. He's wondering how he compares with the guys around him. "You mean you're calling me to have this ahead of me?" Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved. We learn as we read the word. That's John, the Apostle John. And he was following him. And he says, he turns to Yeshua. When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" How many times are we concerned with somebody's going to have it easier than I do? Huh? He's going to get more than I get. The last words of Yeshua in the Gospels is here in the 21st chapter of John. Listen to what he said. Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You follow me." Now, isn't that a statement? Never mind how I gauge the life of the other person and what I called him or her to. Your job is to follow me and do what I tell you. And glorify the Lord. You aren't in it to glorify yourself. It's all about glorifying Him.
Amen.
So Peter writes two epistles. And in his second epistle, he talks about this that Yeshua has called him to, this death. But I want you to hear what's amazing about this, these letters, is this. If you read about Peter in the early part of the Gospels, and how my father-in-law used to say he has hoof and mouth disease. He opens his mouth and sticks his foot in it. Peter had that problem when early on, saying the wrong thing. Remember when he said, "You're the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And he says, "Flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, Peter, but my Father." And not long afterwards, he says, "Oh no, Lord, you aren't going to go to the cross. You aren't going to be killed like that. No, he says, "Get thee behind me, Satan." In other words, Yeshua came for the very purpose of giving his life for us. And Peter didn't understand what was happening. You can be talking words of God at one time, and then he says, "Get behind me, Satan." But this isn't the same Peter that's later on is an apostle and also writes these epistles. Listen to this. "Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Yeshua the Messiah, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior, Yeshua the Messiah, have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Yeshua our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness." This is a different Peter. This is a Peter who's been schooled by God and so filled with the Spirit that he's giving words from heaven, as it were. "His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires." He tells him, "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. You will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Yeshua the Messiah. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Yeshua the Messiah has made clear to me. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. He is so concerned, not that he's going to die, just as Yeshua, headed for the cross, gives the upper room discourse all these wonderful teachings to prepare his disciples to live without his being with them every day. The Holy Spirit would be with them. Yeshua prepares them and doesn't seem to flinch at the thought that he's going to go to the cross. And Peter says, I know I'm going to be going soon, just the way Yeshua said. But I have written down these things so that you, whom I have been pastor to, and have loved and have taught, may understand these things and keep going with the Lord and keep growing spiritually. Who made him equipped like that? That he becomes this kind of person other than the one who was just at the beginning. It's the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. And if we're going to succeed spiritually in whatever the Lord calls us to, it's the Holy Spirit alone who will give us the power to be what Yeshua wants us to be, and that we would glorify him either by life or by death, that we would come to the place that even if we have to give our lives for him, we wouldn't be afraid. He would give us the gift of the Spirit to be whatever he calls us to be. Is that not something encouraging? That the Lord will be with us to strengthen us and to make us what he intended us to be. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for this word. I pray that, Father, that each of us would know the calling to which you have called them, and that we would be able to glorify you by life or by death. Lord, equip us with the power of the Holy Spirit so that we may grow in grace and in the knowledge of Yeshua and be able to stand in your presence and hear your statement, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Lord, touch each and every heart to have a passion to serve you and to fulfill your calling. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Yo'er Adonai panav elecha v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his shalom, his peace. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach Tzidkenu. The name of Jesus the Messiah, righteousness, go with each one and cause us to become the very persons, the very witness that you called us to be.